PodNuts wants to thank everyone who supports the network by going to www.podnuts.com/Amazon.
Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 139. This is a show where we talk about all things geeky. If it has a computer at some point, we're going to talk about it. Do not adjust your stereo. Do not adjust your podcast. We are back. All of us are here. This is actually Martin Obando, one of the hosts. We finally made it together. We finally, everything aligned correctly. We're all virtually in one spot. And I have missed Tim, that laugh. It feels like it's been weeks. I know it's been weeks.
I feel like I've had a holiday from you guys.
Oh, like a good holiday or a bad holiday?
Not on holiday. It's been like, I hate the holidays because I like routine. I mean, I like the holidays themselves, but don't you kind of hate how it wrecks everything? Everything gets out of routine and, you know, well, now I'm getting started. You haven't even introduced us yet.
No, hey, everybody knows who you are. If you're a listener of the show, that's Tim. If you're not, that's Tim.
Hey, everybody, how we doing?
And Mitch, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. If you can hear me, I'm doing pretty good.
I can hear you. You're breathing. You're upright.
But hear me on the recording, it's a different story.
But oh my gosh, it has been too long. I did listen to episode 138. So last time we were able to get together was weeks ago, 137. We were like 14 minutes into it. I got a call from a client. Their network just tanked. We had to cut the show early, you know, and life happens, and Tim said, hey, this is what we do, and so I felt bad about that, but I got up there, got them all squared away, and yeah, they tanked, they were back up, but nothing too big a damage. They just a lot of my clients, I think a lot of all of our clients are relying completely solely on the internet for communications, for everything, and when that goes down, it creates some problems. So they're back up and running, and then last week, gosh, I think last week was a huge antivirus deployment for me, and that kind of came on the heels of a huge infection, so had to move some stuff around, but really glad to be back with everybody.
Glad you're back.
I'm back. I am back. So, what do you guys do this week?
Ooh.
Well, okay, Mitch, go ahead. I'm the one that says... He was sitting politely. He had his hands raised.
I'm the one who always says I contribute the least, but I probably fix about 5 PCs in the last month or so.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Leave some for the rest of us, man.
And then the last one, you know, you really feel good when you're only on a PC for 3 hours, or maybe it was probably less than that. And actually, the one before that wasn't bad either. It was just a bad power supply. Nice. So I've been doing a little bit lately, and so now I feel like I'm actually contributing, because I really don't know what I'm talking about, because my 2001 A+ certificate is no good anymore. So.
Mitch, you're an A+ to me.
Well, 2011. Now you have to know. I think you have to know smartphones now for the A+.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Did A+ expires?
Yeah, it's starting 2011. It does. Yeah.
But that's if you get an A+ starting in 2011, you have to renew every year. But the old ones are grandfathered in to be all the time.
No, I don't. No, I'm pretty sure. No, it's over with. It's gone. Now, if I read it right, but I didn't read the whole thing. But that's the way I was. Actually, that's the way. If you listen to Chris on, is that his name, Chris Carruthers, or
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
on with the Jeff Halish on mm-hmm. the PodNuts.
Yeah, but I think I read it too, but I might be wrong.
I'll have to go look that up because I may have to resubmit a new A+ to my boss.
And that costs that's like a couple $100 a test.
I'm not going to submit nothing to my boss.
Whatever it was.
he can fire me.
No, I mean, yeah. if they pay right. for it.
Man, you tell him, Martin. I don't care if I am working 80 hours a week in this dump. You can't tell me what to do, man.
My wife, on the other hand.
Oh, that boss. You do his shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How high? How high do you jump that high?
Oh, you're allowed to jump?
Yeah, we live in the Pacific Northwest. Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned power supplies, Mitch, because I had a computer that... one of the many things I did, I was called out to, you know, computer worked fine last night. We unplugged it. The janitorial staff unplugged the computer, moved it because they were painting, moved it, plugged it back in. It doesn't boot up.
Like, oh. Turn it off first.
Right. So
they just plug it.
I have no idea.
Okay.
All I know is I went out there and went out and they said, well, we think it's the power supply, or we think it's the power button. They said, like,
okay.
Okay, I don't know without looking at it. So I walk up and I push the power button, and sure enough, nothing. You know, I look and I, you know, light on the back of the hard drive. Or excuse me, light on the back of the power supply. It is a Dell computer. You can see through the side panel. You see light on the motherboard, so there's power getting to the machine. Unplug it. All the lights go out. Plug it back in. Hit the power supply. Nothing. Hit the
power
button.
Did you do the residual thing? To release the you know, unplug everything and hit the button for 10 or 15, 20 seconds.
Right. Did that. Mm. Nothing. Move the power supply to another outlet. Nothing. I mean, really, it was nothing was happening to this. It wasn't even sometimes when you plug the power supply in, sometimes the fan will spin a little bit. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Nope. I told her, it's two things. It's either power supply or it's the motherboard. I was south of Fry's when this happened, and Fry's is a good 30 minute drive for me. And I said, I'm south of Fry's. I'll swing by Fry's on the way home with this computer. I'll pick up a hard drive or power supply. I'll get back tonight because I still have another, 70 miles to drive today. And, the worst thing that is, if the power supply, boom, stick it in, good to go. I'll bring it back tonight. If it's the motherboard, then I'll grab one of the spare laptops that the company has and I'll bring that back tonight and we'll get everything set up. And they said, okay, come home, get a new power supply, open it up, unplug everything, power supply right to the motherboard. I mean, there's onboard video. It's just RAM chips. So I took out RAM, nothing. It's not even getting to the point where it's beeping because there's not power even making it to the motherboard yet. So I, unplug everything, unplug the power, put the new power supply, just sitting on top. So, I'm not going to install the power supply. And then I go to hit power, nothing. Same thing.
Oh man, with the new power supply. Mm.
So I'm thinking, well, great. Now it's either motherboard or something else. So I quickly jump onto the Google and, they said, well, one of the things that I noticed that was odd when I picked up this computer is that when they had unplugged it, they had taken the headphone jack, and instead of the back, they put it in the front, which, okay, somebody just puts it in the front. I didn't think much of it. But when I was Googling this, somebody in a forum somewhere mentioned that sometimes there's a circuit loop that happens or something along those lines where it kills the power and that you have to unplug the front USB headers off the motherboard, the cable that runs from your front USB, into the case, and then it plugs into the motherboard. You unplug that, and it boots up. So I unplug the power supply. Unplug the front USB headers, mm-hmm. put the power supply back in, vroom, starts up. With the original power supply.
How about that?
I'm like, this is weird. So I shut everything down. I unplug it, let everything, all the lights go off again, make sure everything's dead. Plug the front USB headers back in. Turns on. I'm like, great, sweet. Close up the case, everything. And I'm now headed back down to Canby, Oregon, to deploy this. I get down there. It's about 8 o'clock at night. I bring tools just in case. I get down there and I plug it all in, right? And I put it in position where it needs to go in the desk and hit the power supply. Nothing.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, okay, so this time I'm like, I know what this is. I'm put on its side, unscrew the side, off comes the side, unplug the front USB headers, hit the power supply, nothing. I'm like, oh no. So there's another cable. There's the sound, the front USB or the front mm-hmm. sound. Unplug those, hit the power supply, spins up. Excellent. Put the case on it, put it back upright, put it back in its position, write a note. Computer works. The front USB and the front power, the front sound are disconnected. They're disabled. Those are not going to be in function, but your computer's back up and running. And I said, if we need to do something else, if they need more USB ports than the six they have in back, we'll get a USB hub.
So you never even plugged it back in to see if it...
Never even plugged it back in. Gosh. Because, here's the thing is, again, they're 40 minutes away from me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's the problem is that I'm looking at, an hour and a half, almost an hour and a half round trip just to go down there just to do something. So I'm like, I'm just going to unplug these and leave them alone. So I don't know if it's going to happen to everybody. But Dell computer with the front USB, and if you don't get power, check it out. I'm not sure. Yes. I don't know why, but it's doing something and creating some. It's keeping itself from booting up.
You might have a problem with it in the future still.
Oh yeah. Well, it's an older computer. I mean, one of the things was is if it's a motherboard, they were just going to buy a new computer. But this computer of like kind of the fleet of computers that this company has, this one is actually running really, really well. Oh yeah, so yeah, you hate it. You know what I mean?
You're I know what you mean. It's like, I'll do whatever you want. I don't care how quirky it is. You know, you're really giving it for the team there, pal. I'll play your little game.
You know, of course, it's not one of the ones that this, you know, that, oh yeah, we've had huge issues with that computer and now it's dead. We should just, you know, let's just take it up back and shoot it. No, this is like, we gotta save this one.
That's the one that's not an appliance. It has the soul.
Right. Right.
Did you get a good look at the caps while you were in there? Everything looked good on there, no bulging caps and.
Yeah. I'm not an expert on those, but I didn't see anything out of the ordinary. And I guess I'll know if it catches on fire. But
how many sticks of RAM did it have?
Two. That was it. Onboard video, everything else. It had two sticks of RAM.
So RAM could make it act crazy too.
Sure, the RAM could make it act crazy too, but I took the RAM out. But here's the thing. Remember, I took the RAM out. It didn't even beep at me.
Yeah.
So it was never getting to the point where it's affecting the RAM.
Yeah, something
because it wasn't, it just, it, nothing was spinning on. The power, nothing was turning on. So, I don't know.
Does sound like something weird going on during those initial self-checks or something.
Well, it was one of those things of, we're going to move it, and we forgot to tell you we're going to move it, and then the maintenance, you know, maintenance moves it, maintenance puts it back together. Who knows if the painters kicked it over? Who knows if it fell on its side while they're painting? Yeah. I mean, somebody could have, you know, shot put it across the room for all I know. It is what it is.
Well, and that's why, as a repair tech, I don't paint.
Right. That's right. One of the things that I had way early on was, and probably a lot of our listeners have already done this, but just a suggestion is that for the longest time growing up, but using Server 2003 for a long, long time, and very comfortable in 2003, very comfortable in 2008, in 2012. 2012 is a glorified 2008 on, you know, it's like Windows 8 versus Windows 7. It has some really cool features, and every one of these new server editions has really cool features, but you end up kind of using what you know. And that goes for anything. If you may have a set of tools you use for cleaning up viruses, and those are the set of tools you use. Something may fancy may come along, and it kind of takes a little bit of time for us techs, I think, for us to change our mindset to use something different. So I have been using login scripts for years. And how login scripts works is just exactly how it sounds. You create a script, and then as a client logs into their machine, it pulls a login script from the domain, and we tell it to do certain tasks. And a lot of the tasks usually are mapped drives and then shared printers, or add shortcuts to the desktop, or remove shortcuts to the desktops. And so I've gotten pretty proficient in login scripts. Well, one of my clients, their printers were all messed up and have been for years. And so I'm their new tech, and their old tech didn't really have everything organized. It was kind of messy. So I was using login scripts for quite a while to get everything just kind of situated and working. And it was working fine, but there were, you know, four copies of this printer and two copies of that printer, and this one printer didn't work right. And so it was just messy. So mid November, we went in there and we just redid everything, started from scratch with all the printers. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about was actually using the printer deployment within Server 2008 and Server 2012. You can actually go in there and apply, it's a group policy, and you can add printers to it and then apply that group policy to your computers and to your users. So that way your computers get it and your users get it. And you don't have to install anything. You just do it, you reboot the computer, and it starts getting everything, gets the new drivers and everything. So if you're not doing those already, I was really surprised on how easy it was to get that set up. And just one of those kind of things that I had kind of used in the past, never had any good luck with it. And I'm definitely way behind the curve on pushing out printers via group policy. I think a lot of our listeners, if they've ever messed with that, they're going to be like, you know, Welcome to 2009, Martin. If you haven't used that before, give that a shot, because it actually really makes things a lot simpler. I was really impressed on how easy it was. The thing is I haven't been here in so long that I have kind of just a hodgepodge of
bring the next thing, man.
Projects and tasks and stuff that I've done.
Yeah, well, I'm eating it up.
Eating it up.
I got a fork. Right.
You have four? Well, go. You go.
No, I have a fork.
Oh, you're a fork. Oh.
No, I what? Have a Ford. No.
Ford truck?
Oh my gosh.
Here we go again.
Okay, so last I listened to episode 130 this morning. Oh my God. And Tim and Mitch are talking about Mitch driving home.
Talking to my grandpa.
And I'm listening this morning, and I start busting up because it's funny to me that Mitch says, oh, Tim asked Mitch whether or not he can take the company car home. And then Mitch says, I can't drive the Ford truck home, is what I hear, the Ford truck. And so then he goes on to talk about how he's going at 6 or 7 miles per hour. And it makes me laugh because I have a Chevy Impala, and I've had issues with this American car versus my wife's Toyota that has, you know, almost 300,000 miles on it, and it just purrs. My 160,000 American, you know, car is having issues with it. And so I thought Mitch was making a joke against Ford trucks. Then I'm telling these guys on Voxer that I think this is funny, and they're like, no, fork truck. Like a forklift. And I'm like, oh, that's why Mitch said 6 or 7 miles per hour.
Yeah, and I showed you, that's the one I drive, that the picture I took. I sent you guys.
But I have a CRV. A fork truck has spinners on it.
I have a Honda CRV, so that's
spinners.
Yeah, but not at work.
I know, but I don't. It just it caught me as funny, and I heard something and just ran with it in my head.
That's because I mumble. My wife says I mumble. I can't understand you. Talk right. That's what she says to me. So evidently, and I have a half a cold, I think.
Well, and thinking we had put all this behind us, I just say the word fork again, having nothing to do with that, and you didn't. And again, you didn't hear me right. So, am I saying the word wrong? Fork?
No. Fork? I'm going to buy a fork. I'm going to buy a fork Mustang.
Fork Mustang?
A fork Mustang, yep.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
I heard it wrong. I'm sorry.
Fjord.
Fjord. Well, this is here's a tool then. I had a computer. Oh, okay. Well, let me start with this one. So this one project will encompass tools that I want to talk to you guys about, as well as some projects. So I get a call from a client. Their computer is just, it's not working right. Things aren't loading. It's just slow. I have to head down to this client anyways, or by them. This client actually is about an hour and 15 minutes away from me. So I get there, and it's not working right. There's problems with it. So I bring it home, and I start looking at it. And as I'm opening up folders, there's a shortcut in every single folder that says unencryption or something along those lines. And so then what do I do is I start opening up Word documents, and it says encrypted, PDFs, encrypted. Nice. Yeah. So I made me think of something, and that Mike Tech Show, podcast number 525, he starts talking about Crypto Prevent and the new crypto wall and all of that. The new crypto locker virus that's out, and there's nothing on this computer that they need, and so I just talked with them, and they said, let's just wipe it. All right, so we go to wipe it, and we reload it, and get it all up and running, and put back there, and get Dropbox and everything put on it, and I go to log in on because they have an administrative account and then a user account, which is great, so that way the users can't necessarily install everything without a password. But everything runs except Dropbox. You go to run Dropbox, and it says that it can't find the path. Like, it's really weird. So I uninstall Dropbox, and I reinstall Dropbox, and it can't, same error. Now I go to the administrator, and I run Dropbox, and it works just fine. Mm. So, you know, everything's talking about permissions, and, you know, you start Googling this, and, yeah, Dropbox, it makes sure you have permissions to this folder, makes sure you have permissions to that folder. Where I'd already installed something like, I had already installed the new version of Crypto Prevent by Nick Shaw on there. So I uninstalled that because that does have some effect on group policies and the way things get installed. Pardon me?
The whitelist.
Right. So I uninstall it completely. Get rid of Crypto Prevent completely because I want to make sure that that's not the cause of it. And uninstall Dropbox, run CCleaner, clean everything up, reinstall Dropbox. Everything works fine on the admin profile. Go to the manager profile. It doesn't work. Same error. So then I start really Googling this and digging deeper into this. And people are saying, well, go to the H key users, software, Windows, current, you know, control set, something like that. And then you end up getting down into this Dropbox registry key. And inside of there's a folder called KS. And you're supposed to delete that. So I delete it on the admin side. And then I go to because it's an H key users registry. So that means every user is going to have this. So there's the Dropbox and the KS key folder on the admin. I go to the manager one. There's the Dropbox, the KS, and then a whole bunch of more folders. All of these folders. And I go to delete them. It says you don't have permissions. So I run the tweaking, you know, tweaking, the tweaking Windows tweaking tool that goes through and just just checks registry entries and keys and permissions, and I run all that, and it still doesn't fix it. So after a while, I'm thinking,
This is a fresh reinstall.
Okay, and so there's some conflict with something that's happened after the reinstall. Okay.
Right. All right. Yeah, I'm following this along. All so, right.
And right. You were in the admin account when you went in the registry?
But the key that you're supposed to remove with that Dropbox says is in the H key users folder. So every user is going to have their own separate profile. That's kind of like your profile.
I mean, you can't see it from the admin, though.
When you go to that, you see the admin one, not the manager one.
I got you.
So I go to delete it, and it says I can't delete it. Well, I start looking around for products then that will help me delete keys out of a registry that are locked.
Yeah.
And I came across one called Registrar Registry Manager 7.0. And it's from Replendence.com. Just a small, I'll throw it in the chat room here, and it'll be in the show notes. All these, of course, are going to be in the show notes. I throw it on this computer, small little executable. I run it. It gives me your registry. You can go through there. I'm able to delete all the keys right from there. Even though it was locked at one time, it must go through and unlock it. Unlock it, clean it all out, reinstall Dropbox, works like a charm.
Wow.
So every now and then you need a registry product that that helps you just kind of get around all these locks and these errors that the registry will throw at you. And this one actually works really well, and I was really impressed with it. Like I said, it's free. It works for Windows 8.1 all the way down to Vista XP 2000, both 32 and 64-bit. Command line version as well, if you'd want to run that. But this GUI one, it's really simple. Nothing too fancy about it, but it works quite well.
Resplendent.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I'm familiar with these because Who Crashed is a program I've used often over the years.
Yep.
So yeah.
I don't think I've ever used that. So
yeah, that's a handy one.
What does that one do?
Tells you the information when you have
kind of helps you cipher the crash dumps and that.
Oh, okay.
Without those things can be kind of a hassle going through setting up the. Oh my gosh, I'm so lost today.
No, I know what you're
saying. It's a very simple way to just run it. Just it kind of helps you out without having to set up the whole Microsoft thing and download the crap.
It gives you an idea what's wrong. There's another one too. Blue. There's two of them that are pretty good. I forgot what the other one was. But I've never had problems deleting anything in the registry. It's always been like a folder, and then there's stuff I use for that.
But something made some change somewhere to that registry like that.
Right, right, and it just locked it up. So
interesting. And then And the only problem was just what was working fine, but it's just Dropbox.
Everything was working fine in Dropbox. It was just the Dropbox on that one user. Now, one of the things I could have done to test this, of course, was to create another non-administrative account, install Dropbox, and see if it works. But it would work. But Dropbox was working just fine inside of the administrator account. And I even gave the user called manager. I gave them administrative rights just to check, and it still didn't do it. I did it in safe mode, still couldn't uninstall it. So, but this that registry, Registrar Registry Manager 7 worked just fine.
Interesting. This was Windows 7?
Yes, Windows 7.
Yeah.
64-bit Windows 7. I think it was Windows 7 Home. Don't know if that really.
Wonder if that makes any difference.
I don't know, but.
Okay. All right. Well, good.
So I
fixed it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a cool thing. So it kind of was I wanted to mention that because Mike, like I said, Mike Smith from the Mike Tech Show goes on and talks about that at length at one point. And, so that was the show notes in there.
I thought you were going to talk about when he had that crypto prevent virus. And did you list that one, how he got everything back?
Right. Well, yes. That was. See, this computer was infected by that crypto locker virus, and he was able to get things back. But by that time, I had already wiped this computer and reloaded it and redeployed it. And I was like, "Oh,
Well, it sounded like he spent quite a bit of time on it, though. But he got it though.
Yeah, he did. He did. And I was. I don't know. I think at some point, if like I said, these people were this customer and this machine was just. Wipe it. We don't really need anything on there. Let's just move forward with it. Let's just, less time, the better. But, you know, say a year ago when I was called out to that, my very first client with the crypto locker, we spent a lot of time working on that and never did get it resolved because
did you try to do the shadow copy or the backup thing too? Well, not
right. Remember that? Yeah, they lost all their backups and since then. So actually this morning, one of the things that I did is I created a document, on how to upgrade to the latest crypto prevent from Nick Shaw. I sent it out to my clients so they are installing this newer version because they all had been using like the version four, and I think it's now up to version 7. And the new version 7 will, if you set it up correctly, and like the max settings, it does have a better chance of catching the newest version of this this newest iteration of this crypto locker virus. So. You know, I sent out, actually, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about as well, is Brian Krebs, on the 3rd sent out, I get his emails, and he sent out an email that talked about, it was titled, Be Wary of Order Confirmation Emails, and it goes through, and it basically talks about, you know, these are companies that will send you fake confirmation emails that you've ordered something, you click on it, and you get infected.
Oh, my. I'll tell you. Well, finish, and I'll tell you my story.
Okay. Well, the third one down is from Target, and there's a laptop right there. That laptop right there. I don't know if you can. You can see it. That laptop is being cleaned up because this couple were part of the scam that their credit cards were stolen during the credit card breach at Target. So they don't shop at Target anymore, but yet they got an email saying they had ordered something from Target. So because they ordered something and they were curious what it was that they ordered, they opened it up. So I was talking to the husband today, and he said, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh! I really feel sorry for her, but that's nuts. I know. So
that's a shame. Why not look? I don't have to tell our listeners this, but if you get something that says it's from Target, just go to Target. Just go to Target. If it's it could be from anybody in your email. Go to Target. I'm like,
you think it's from Target? Yes. Just go to Target.com. Log in. Well, your account information's there. Look there.
Right.
For our listeners that are technical. You guys know what to do.
Yeah. I'm repeating what I tell my customers.
Right. Well, and also when you hover over the link in the Target ad, it's like http://trangtrin. Like it's gobbledygook. Like it's not from target.com. So she clicks on it and this morning I get an email. I can't, you know, had to wait till she emails me from work. Computer's all infected. You know, it wasn't the crypto locker, which I was kind of afraid it was, but just a mess of stuff. So I have it cleaned up. I was finishing up some scans on it tonight. I'm gonna take it back after the show because I just picked it up this afternoon. So, but I emailed this out to my customers today, my clients, saying, guys, it's coming back around. You know, you are gonna get. It's a holiday season. They're phishing. You know, phishing attacks are gonna go on the rise. You know, remind our listeners here. Remind your customers if you're doing this that. You know, it's coming. That don't click on anything. If FedEx is supposed to be sending you something and they said, hey, click here for the link, then maybe go to wherever you ordered it from. If you ordered it from Amazon or if you ordered it, you know, or call them. Call FedEx directly with the tracking number. Be very, very careful because you could easily find yourself completely infected and, you know, needing a full system reload or a wipe or something to get your data back.
It's going to cost you more than whatever the thing was that you supposedly ordered but didn't.
It is, and you know, I do have to give. Speaking of Amazon, I got to give them a thumbs up plus one, if you want to, if you will. Ordered a new hard drive and a battery for another client of mine, and ordered it. Supposed to be here on Saturday. I never saw it. Didn't they handed it off to the postal service? Postal service said they put it on the doorstep. Never saw it. Did see the UPS package that I ordered from Amazon on the doorstep. Not the one from the post office service. So I wait. You know. You go to the postal site and they say, well, sometimes we say that it's actually been delivered when it hasn't and it'll be delivered the next day. So today rolls around. I actually filed a claim with them right off the bat. Never heard anything back. You go to call them. You can't get a hold of anybody. So I waited till the day to give it time to make sure that, you know, well, maybe because we're supposed to be on Saturday, maybe they're not going to deliver anything on Sunday. So let's give them all day Monday. Just make sure that somebody will show up with my package Monday. Nothing. So I called up Amazon this morning and I said, here's what's going on. Amazon full refunded me for the stuff that they handed it off to the Postal Service, and the Postal Service lost it, dropped it, kicked it, did the Ace Ventura to it. I don't know. They full refunded me this morning, my amount that I paid for it, and then turned around and said, okay, now let's reorder the stuff, and then gave me free next day shipping.
Wow. Hey, they man, they're awesome. They just...
But it sounds really... Mike Smith had a similar situation, too. He ordered something. I forgot what it was. And he had a hard time tracking it. And finally, they admitted the mistake. But theirs went through... They flipped it over to... Actually, I don't think it was a post office or some third party something. And it was... I think he finally got it. But I forgot what it was that he ordered. Can't remember.
I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, it's for a client who's very patient. I emailed him this morning and I said, you know, here's what's taking so long and here's what's being done to resolve it. So we're going to put a new hard drive in, get that up and running. They've been running on a bad battery or a non, you know, the battery is there, but it doesn't do anything. They've been running on that for a long time. So I'm going to get their hard drive and the laptop back to him, you know, as soon as possible. And then when the battery comes in, because they can't give me overnight shipping on the battery because Amazon is not selling it. It's from a third party. So once the battery comes in, then I'll go out and swap out the battery for him.
So you see, I got an email yesterday. I'm at work. I'm lunchtime. And then, you know, check, you know, my phone. I check my email about like 20 minutes before. Thank you for your purchase at Staples. And I'm at work.
Yep.
Now, but it was legit. I mean, I'm calling up everything. I said, man, because it looked legit, but there, you know, they had like portion of a charge card number on there, but I know it's not mine. But I do have an account there. And, long story short, well, my wife bought me some and I guess she yeah. 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 She used, and you know, I guess given our phone number, all me automatically went to my rewards and it sent me, they start sending you emails now.
That's great. Or your wife's like a total spammer.
No. It didn't say what it was though. It just said one of it does. There's nothing on there. But I'm like going nuts. I'm at work. I'm calling up to talking to the manager at Staples. All of a sudden, my stepdaughter is texting me because I had to ask her about it. So that's what it was. But I still don't know what it is. So
that's great. Well,
that's good.
Yeah.
I do have something here from Costco. Should I click it?
No. Well, I mean, unless you ordered something from Costco, is it like a free?
No. Apparently, no. There's no. No. It's not. It's what you just talked about.
Oh.
And you know what? I only have 4 days, and this was in my spam from 7 days ago. So I guess I'm screwed.
Yeah, I did get something from. I actually got one the other day.
The window of infection is closed.
Yeah. And I thought, well, it's on my Linux box. I wonder if I should open it. I was like, nah, just delete it. So I didn't.
That's what I would do if I get it. If I get a weird email, I would go to my Linux box and open it up because it was just curious. You know, Google Gmail's usually pretty good, but or I'll use Sandbox EIE or something. But most of the time, I'm pretty good. I know. Now I got one from Drury Hotels. You think that's legit?
I think that's probably legit.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm joking.
So speaking of going to your Linux box and opening up that, one of the things, like I said, I did last week. So one of my clients do you remember when my client who they had email, their email just died one day. It was gone. The provider just died. They were down emails all day long.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. It was a while ago. So this same company, in June, I started working with, you know, GFI in June, and I was starting to kind of get my feet wet with it, and said, hey, we have this product that's some monitoring, some antivirus. It may be something you guys would be interested in, because they were just running Security Essentials, and they said, really, at this time, no, our tech budgets, you're not really doing a whole, they're not feeling like they're getting infected enough to validate purchasing an antivirus product, paid for antivirus product, And I said, okay. So I checked back with them a couple months later. Just nothing. Didn't hear anything after that. So then I got an email. We're all infected. So, okay. So I got there, clean them up, and then I'm hearing from this other company, like three sites, because they're all in different locations, not interconnected, but all three of them started getting infected. So somebody's sending out something, and, you know, and so I get an email back from the guy I had been working with, and he says, if you could price me out, give me a quote for, like, Norton or McAfee or something that we can get everybody cleaned up. And I said, well, I actually happen to have this product that I've been doing. And he goes, done, do it. So that was one of my projects last week, is I ran around and deployed this, my managed antivirus on 45 computers. And one of the last ones I deployed on was this gentleman's computer. And he's a nice guy. He's technical. So he has his two monitors for his Windows box and then his Mac. And he says, yeah, and we were talking about that and talking about Crypto Prevent and Crypto Locker. And he said the same thing, Mitch. He said, if the email looks really suspicious, I go over here to my Mac and I open it up here. That way I don't get my Windows box infected. And so he said, I'm pretty sure my Windows box is clean. I haven't seen anything. I said, okay, not a problem. And we still get them moved over. And I run through the deep scans and stuff. I make sure everybody's getting scanned and stuff like that. What do I find on his computer? Conduit.
Right.
But all of this, like the whole,
conduit.
So he was probably being very protective about what he opened up and what he found and what he did with this Windows box, but yet still had conduit in there.
They piggyback that on stuff. I mean,
I know.
I mean, I've done it by accident before too.
It's nasty. But I've been deploying this, my managed antivirus product now quite more often, and I've been really impressed with it. I wasn't sure how it was going to work out, but as far as finding, you know, the malware and spyware and viruses, you know, because we know we've talked about in the past that it's mainly malware and spyware that we're finding, not necessarily viruses as much. It's the unwanted programs and the pop-ups and the, you know, redirects that we're seeing a lot of. And I've been finding a lot of stuff with this and been very pleased. I think one computer after that big deployment, I scanned out and it had 500 and some deployments, infections on it, which we got those all cleaned out.
That was my experience a few years ago. It was good. It was very effective. You know, when it mm-hmm. found stuff, it got rid of it. Okay, and it was like as soon as something was detected, boom, it was gone. And it was all. Of course, and that's the whole point. It was all very automated. I mean, by the time you're learning about it, these were almost reports, you know. And the customer never knows about it really, unless you're sending out those emails are set up to be sent out periodically, saying, "Hey, look what we've been doing for you." Do you have that? Did you configure that where the customers get reports?
No.
Yeah.
No, I want to make it as simple as possible for the customers that they, I'm using GFI is what I'm using. So there is a icon. It looks kind of like a life ring. You know, you'd see on a ship, you know, it's kind of red and white and it has that kind of the ropes around the edges. Yeah. You can have that running in the toolbar in the bottom. I don't have that running at all. I leave it very simple. But I have a daily scan and then I have a deep scan that runs on Wednesdays and I'm always finding stuff. But what's nice about this is I know when a computer is having issues with printing. I know when it's having issues with, other stuff. And it's just, I find that it has just saved me time and has become a great tool. And I kind of kick myself, you know, Liam from Liam Tech and I have talked many times about this and, I kind of kick myself that I didn't do this a long time ago because it's just a great managed,
because it was awful years ago. I mean,
was it?
Right. Well, it's only gotten better and better and better. I mean, the experience you guys are having compared to what I had a few years ago, completely different. I mean, I don't know exactly what the issue was, but I know that there have been a number of issues that have been resolved since I worked with it. So yeah, I think you guys benefit from having, whereas I stepped into it and kind of dealt with maybe, you know, some decisions that were made previously. I mean, you guys could do it from the ground up the way you wanted it, but I think you should be like really satisfied that you've started using it and you're happy with it. Don't be kicking yourself for not starting earlier because it's definitely made progress.
That's cool. And check it out. I talked to Ed Little, who we have I believe we have an email from him coming up here in a little bit. We're going to talk about that. you know, talk to him in length about it at OLF. And I mean, it's a Linux fest, and yet we're talking about how to protect, you know, our clients' Windows machines. And you know, that's just part of life. And there's more Windows machines out there than our Linux machines. And so he started using it, and his, from what last I heard, he was very impressed with it.
It's so cheap.
It is so cheap. So cheap. And I don't have a great segue into this next, what I want to say next, but I'm just going to say it. So speaking of tools that I wish I had, you know, purchased a while ago, is D7. I was,
that's not cheap. That's value.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So I thought when I purchased D7.
How was that?
That's a great segue.
Yeah. Going from cheap to value. Hey, what do you got next, Martin?
Let me tell you about D7.
Oh, beautiful. Tell me more.
I'm going to. Here we go. I'm going to drive it to you in my Ford truck.
That's delightful.
Da bomb, if you will.
D7, you can fork it.
Come on. I demand you guys to continue. Come on now.
Okay. All right. So I've been using D7. So when I purchased D7 2, I thought this is a tool that I will use every now and then, to be honest, because I'm not doing a whole lot of cleaning up, or I didn't think I was, because I always had different tools. I always had manual ways of doing stuff. And now I've had it for a while, and I use it literally almost daily. And I don't say that just to be like literally, you know, not really use saying literally to mean literally. Literally, I use it almost daily. We're gonna get emails about too much use of literally. I use it all the time. It is a great tool. I can't think of a reason why I don't use it. So I had a client today, actually, speaking of D7. So here's what happened. I have a computer that needs to be reloaded, but they don't have the office keys. Or they do, but they don't know. The documentation wasn't fully complete. They kind of lost some of the documentation. So one of the things that D7 does is it records all of that information for you. So when you open up D7 and you run it, you're going to get a report of your system report and your info report. And that's going to have things like your office keys and your Windows keys and your Internet Explorer keys, stuff that you may never really pay attention to. But I had a client who needed to reload Windows and needed to reload Office, but he had all of these keys of Office, but he didn't know which one went to where. I ran D7, didn't need to do any cleanup on it because we're going to reload the machine, but all I used it for was just the reporting factor. Well, the other thing that he had the trouble with is he had all of these other files and folders, but he didn't know where they belonged. So he gave me a list of computers he wanted me to run it on. So I just went to 5 computers today, ran D7 on each one of them, opened it up, made sure it ran, closed it out, and then I was emailed a report. And in that report, now I was able to go to him and say, here are the keys. These keys match up with these computers. And now I've made his job easier. And now we're able to use, the documentation is now becoming more in line, and it's actually becoming more efficient. So using D7, which I have been using for viruses and malware and spyware and cleaning up the computers and doing tweaks and doing repairs, has been really great. But here's another way that I've been able to use D7 is for the reporting feature. You know, I have a list, and if he calls me up and he says, what's that key for this one computer, I can go to my email, I can pull it up, and I can say, here's the key. And like, how'd you do that so fast? It's like, well, I have a great tool written by a great guy, you know, that it works. So if you guys are still on the fence, I know we kind of missed I know Nick had a sale coming up. He had a kind of a Black Friday sale, and we hadn't spoken about it because we hadn't seen it. But if you guys are on the fence about D7, especially D7 2, and, you know, are you going to use it? Are you not? I don't know. I didn't really think I was going to use it, and I use it all the time. I really do. It's such a great product, and I can't even think about not using it now because it does so many things that I would never even think about, you know. It's right there. It's simple. It's one little install, and you can put on your thumb drive, and you can run with it and go to all your clients. So check it out, foolishit.com. While you're there, get yourself the latest version of Crypto Prevent and get that installed on your computer so you can keep yourself safe from the nastiness that is out there. Foolishit.com. And thank you, Nick Shaw, for just being such a great supporter of the Podnuts Network. He's been on our show before. He's been on some other shows. We'll definitely need to probably get him back, see what's going on. But such a great guy and a great product. Check it out. Did I put you guys to sleep?
No.
Okay.
No.
I wasn't sure.
It's an education when you speak, Martin.
I had a high school professor that would put us to sleep, and so I kind of wonder. I'm not a professor at all. Don't do that. something that I came across, and this has been a while. If you listen to the Pod Nuts call-in show with Jeff Halish and Corey?
Chris Carruthers.
Chris Carruthers. Thank you. They were speaking of they were talking about, they were just talking about PCs and just moving stuff around, and I couldn't remember what the gist was, but I remember them talking about this and this flagging my attention because I didn't know this. But Chris Carruthers says that the Microsoft license, if a client brings me a computer and we need to reload it, and there's an OEM sticker on it, I can use that sticker, I can reload it with that key. You know, I can get the media. Say you don't have the media, I can go get the Windows 7, whatever. I load it, put the key in, I give it back to the client, we're good to go. If a customer gives me a machine or you get a machine and then they don't want it, but you then reload it with that key and transfer it to somebody else, you're not allowed to do that. Even though the sticker is on the case, you can't use that same sticker. You're supposed to get a new one. I didn't know that. I mentioned it. You were shaking your head.
No. It sounded like I remember the episode. I'll listen to it.
You knew that. Yeah. Remember that one? And I didn't know that. So one of the things that they had mentioned was, you know, of course, removing the key. Now, the other day, I was able to give a Linux machine away, and it was a Windows box. I ripped the sticker off it, put Linux on it, and that's perfectly legal. But How2Geek has an article that says how to uninstall your Windows product key before you sell your PC. Now, this would be more along the lines of not reloading it, but this is you have a valid machine that's up and running, and you need to uninstall the key, but not uninstall the operating system. It looks like you can run through this, you can uninstall the key, run some commands, and then what will happen is they will then be prompted to purchase a key. Mm. So that'll be in the show notes. But yeah, How2Geek does the thing. It actually says how to uninstall your Windows product key before you sell your PC. So with with that rule that you're not allowed to change ownerships of the key, I mean, then what happens is that if client A is done with the computer and you give it to client B, but your client A paid for the license, that license just goes away. You can't transfer it. I believe it just disappears and client B needs to buy a new one. So, and I didn't know that. And I thought the sticker stayed with the machine. And so I've transferred licenses to between users before.
But he was also talking about buying. Now you got me confused. But about upgrading the operating system for a real low price. If you're upgrading the computer itself, let's say if it had XP, you can basically trade it in for a Windows 7 on that used PC that you upgraded, whatever you did to it, and get, what did he say? He's paying like $33 for an OS on those machine type of machines. How did that work?
Well, I think he has a TechNet or I think he's got some other subscription. Was that, maybe, am I wrong in that?
Yeah, I think you're right. It wasn't TechNet now, but I think you're right. Yeah, some kind of.
So,
you have to sign up for this thing. Windows something program. That's what it was. Microsoft.
Right, because he's a reseller then. So he can resell
Microsoft reseller. Keys. Reseller
program. Okay, so yeah. So because he's got a reseller license, he can resell the keys at a very discounted rate. But if I don't have that. So if a client wants a box, then we need to go buy a license from, you know, Office Depot, Staples, you know, whatever. You're going to have to be, they will legally have to go get a license for that. You just can't say, well, the sticker's on the box and that transfers with it. So.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't understand a lot of that. I think a lot of it's a surprise to most people.
Right. That's one of those ones where it's like, oh, you didn't know you weren't supposed to do that? It's like, well, no, I didn't. It didn't make sense why you would. Oh, no. Yeah. Well, no, that's always been that way. Well,
no.
Okay, you know, I guess then I've been breaking the law the whole time.
That, you know, and there's a real disconnect. When you hear things like there's a real disconnect between what supposedly, what is probably true and what actually just really works in the real world. Because, you know, I understand that, let's say, you know, I'm just going to assume that this is true. You pick up the box, you take it from here, you take it over there. Well, maybe they're not going to know that. But, I mean, how often have, like, you know, Microsoft, you do a reinstall, something doesn't work right. Well, it's like, well, just do this, and that works. And you're like, okay, well, all right, I'm happy. Well, maybe this was wrong and you didn't know it. Well, it's up to them to police this crap. I don't need to know this. They're crazy stuff. And if it wasn't supposed to work, why did they let it work? And that's, you know, and then you hear something like this, and it's like, you know, why do you people make this so stinking difficult? Can I just buy your crap and use it?
Maybe
I got a little personal on that one.
There's a good question.
Maybe I feel a little tender today.
Highlander has a good question about the newer BIOSes. That's where the keys are kept in there now instead of the OS. Yeah.
I unfortunately, Highlander, I don't have an answer for that because the license keys are kept within the new Windows boxes, and I think that's some of the problems you went through, Mitch, when you reload a Windows 8 machine. You know, I'm gonna have to start to learn, and I think on 138, the last episode, Tim, you talked about wanting to get a Windows 8 machine just to practice, just so you could reload it.
See what would happen.
You know, I have my in-laws bought a new computer over Christmas, and it's sitting. It arrived, and it's here, and it's a Windows 8 laptop. And while I'm excited for them to get a new laptop because their computer's fairly old, I think this is going to work out really well for them. And I'm understanding Windows 8 and 8.1, and we're going to, you know, put StartX on it, and we're going to make it very simple for them. My concern is that someday it's going to break, and that someday I'm going to have to fix it. And it's with all the new legality and the licenses and how everything on Windows works. You know, I've heard from two camps. I've heard, oh, it's pretty simple. You just do ABC and you're set up, ready to go. And then I've heard other people say, it's a pain in the rear and I'd rather cut off my arm than try to reload, you know, a Windows 8 box. So
real quickly, can I, my two experiences, which, you know, the one went bad, but the one I did a while ago, it was on the HP. It just wouldn't, I tried to do a recovery from his partition. Windows 8 just would not, didn't start stalling. So I was told, I mean, that machine was bought with basic Windows 8, and I had a Windows Basic retail disk that I had was mine. And I was told, unlike the OEMs where you have the, it's, you know, that will work on the new ones legally if it's the same match. And it did. It worked fine. It authenticated and everything. Because someone else told me, some tech guy told me, you know, you can do that with Windows 8. And I did get all the updates with that fine, and all we took it up to 8.1. Whereas the one I just did with that Sony, that was a nightmare. But anyway, I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there. But I hope you have a good time on yours.
Well, you know, just now as I was listening to you talk about this, the thing that popped in my head was I'm going to probably, before I get too far into this box, is just image it. So it's I have an image of this machine, brand new, right out of the box. Mm-hmm. And or either that, or I'll image it after I install the, you know, the users on it, because I have to create, because it came with a year of free Office 365, so I need to create them a Hotmail account or, you know, an Outlook account.
This is a brand new machine.
Brand new machine.
You know you can bypass. You don't have to do that. You can do
it. Right. Yeah. And I was started to do that, so I didn't have to log into the I don't have to use that the Office or the Hotmail account, the Microsoft account, to log into the machine, just use a local account. Right. But I believe to get the free Office 365,
right.
I'm going to need to create one for them. And then I'll create one for them, keep the username and password for myself, and then forward any emails to that to her current email address, or keep it current to me, just forward it on to me. That way they don't have to worry about it and I can always take care of it for them. I'll be putting my antivirus on there. As well, because it came with the free, free year of Kaspersky or something.
So that
like
is Windows 8.1, right?
I'm assuming it's.
It should be 8.1.
It's brand new. It's brand new. Like it just came in. So,
I mean, really, with Windows 8.1, you don't need that star dock or whatever it's called. You know, maybe they do. I don't know.
I have a feeling they're going to want it. So, I guess I could probably give it to them and say, you want to try it out? And they're going to say, it doesn't work well. Because because it's their travel computer, they're computer savvy, but it's not 100% computer savvy. So I'm going to make it as simple as possible. And for $5, I'll just put StartX on there. Should we go to emails? Do we have time for emails?
We got that voicemail too, don't forget.
Oh yeah, we have voicemail.
A WoW computer.
They're not that old. But that's a good idea.
Did you say you want me to play this voicemail or?
Go ahead.
Phillison, who's this from?
This is from Sherwin Williams.
Not the painter. Okay, all right.
Not the painter.
All right, let's listen. Let's have a little listen.
This message is for the Geekster team. This is Sherwin at the Intel Lookup. I want to say a big thank you for the last show and mentioning of C-Boards. For some reason, I thought I might have heard it before, but totally forgot it. So that was really nice because I ran into an issue whereby a client had an infection and was reaching up at maybe doing 10, 15 concurrent connections to a weird server on the net and was just loading his machine. AZ wasn't finding it, so I was able to power up cPort from the client.txt, removed it, see what application. I mean, it was just like I really knew what to do. So thanks again, guys. You're doing a great show. I'm just, you know, keep up the good work through that.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I had a chance to meet Sherwin for the first time at OLF, and man, that guy, he is all about penetration testing and very much into all of the kind of the white hat stuff. And he is from, I can't remember where he's from, but he's got he's one of those guys that you could just sit and just listen to him talk. He's so knowledgeable and such a great guy. So Seaports, we had talked about a while ago, and that was the application where there was a program running that kept changing the proxy on an Internet Explorer. I would uncheck it would check it back in.
Yeah.
And Seaports came through recommendation. It came through a recommendation from one of the gentlemen who works with Nick Shaw and supporting D7. They said, try this out. And that was where we were able to say, oh, okay, because it was pointing to port 8080. What's running on port 8080? SPD.exe. We were able to kill it and then and go for that. So Seaports is used to be able to look at what's running on the computer. And I don't remember what episode that was, but that was, it wasn't too far back.
No.
Unfortunately, it couldn't find Browser Ignite.
Right. Unfortunately for you, Mitch, because we threw the kitchen sink at that computer. And it.
I mean, it was terribly infected. It was like close to 3,000 the first scan of malware, but it's like 27-something. Oh.
Yeah, at that point, it may be time to, just reload it. So. But that was cool. Thanks, Sherwin.
I think he was, he goes by Info. I think he used to go on Linux Basics when they used to have that show, and he was on there quite a bit. And I think that's the same guy.
Info Lookup.
Right. He's a really intelligent guy.
Yeah. Very intelligent. So some emails that we have been receiving, and this emails, so we're going back quite a ways because, just had to play catch up. So Raymond Sleef. He's the gentleman who wrote, just crazy PowerShell scripts to do some Active Directory tools, and we had talked to him about it, and he replied a couple times about doing some PowerShell scripts, and I don't know PowerShell at all, but this guy writes some crazy PowerShell scripts. Well, one of the things that I was using, I used a tool to clean up old computers. You ran I can't remember what the tool is right off the top, 80 tidy up or something like that. And basically, what it was tell me how many went, you know, I'm going to say, show me all the computers that haven't checked in the last 30 days, you know, and then you can go through and you can then disable them from the domain, and that'll allow you to clean up your Active Directory without removing computers that do exist. Well, he said, you know, during that whole time, he said, hey, there's a PowerShell script that he does. And so one of his emails here says, Martin, sitting on my oldest son's hockey practice, I decided time to finish up making this script at least publicly available. So that I don't end up send you endless files of stuff, I decided to put it on GitHub. I'm always working to figure out GitHub more and more, and so this is just another excuse to get used to it and get it in general. If you have trouble getting the code from GitHub, let me know, and I can always send it over through Dropbox or any other method. And I'll put the link for the GitHub in the show notes and also in the chat here. He says, right now, that's the only script I have uploaded for use. I'm sure I can expand on it, this allows for others to contribute back or just take it if they wish. Disclaimer, use at your own risk, and please attempt it in a test environment first. This has been working in my environment just fine. I'd love to know what others think. My to-do list of items would be to add the confirm and what if parameters, but it will take more time to get that in place than I wanted, and wanted to give this back to you guys for all the entertainment, and information I get out to you. I'll get out of you, sorry. The code has a lot of regions added to it, This is to help with readability in most ISEs, including PowerShell ISEs that is included in the Windows OS screenshot. Shows all the code collapsed, so you can skim portions of it as you need to check things out. Nice way of looking at the 750 lines in a compressed format, at least in my eyes. Keep being awesome, and thanks for everything. Thanks, Raymond. So, thank you, Raymond. If anybody out there likes using PowerShell or is interested in testing with it, check out the show notes. He wrote a couple commands here that you guys can use to clean up your Active Directory.
Cool.
Let's see. Next email. This is from Ed Little. Hey, Martin. I was listening, and when he says Martin, he just emails everybody else, so I apologize for that. I was listening to the podcast and heard you talk about deep freeze. I've been using the Smart Shield from Centurion Technologies. It works quite well on public internet computers and saves a lot of problems from occurring. I've been using Centurion Technologies products for more than 10 years and have been happy with them. They used to have a Centurion Guard, which was a hardware piece that attached to a floppy drive ribbon cable that had a key lock you would use to enable or disable. Oh my. The product that was after the product after that was called, I think, Drive Shield, and was software based. And then they came out with their current product, Smart Shield, a few years ago. On the listserv I belong to, Deep Freeze user had some frozen machines that got stuck in a reboot cycle from a failed Windows update schedule. The fix was having to add or remove a file from one of the Windows system folders. This had been done by accessing the hard drive from the rescue CD / USB stick, or attaching the drive to a working computer, and it was a pretty manual process. I've had this happen on occasion with Smart Shield, and every time I was able to unfreeze the machines from the Control Center server app used to manage the machines with Smart Shield on them. I figure this is worth a mention. Hopefully it would be a question to ask when evaluating or purchasing a product like Deep Freeze or Smart Shield. What happens when a frozen machine is stuck in an endless reboot cycle from applying scheduled / automated updates? Ed. So we had talked about Shields Up, or was it no? We had talked about Deep Freeze a while ago. I think we got in a conversation about using a kiosk and letting users just have at it and then being able to reboot the machine and coming back to normal.
Yeah.
And So Centurion Tech was the one he had mentioned, and I believe, yeah, and it actually shows pictures of kids in schools and stuff like that on that one. We have another email that's quite along the same lines. I just lost it. Well, we'll find it. I'll just keep going through the emails. So thanks, Ed, for emailing into us on that one. Paul emails us and says, I just finished listening to show 133, so I'm a couple of episodes behind. Well, not anymore because we miss them. Excuse me. Forgive me if this has already been answered. Someone on there mentioned that they had trouble getting Windows updates to work until they installed a driver from HP. I've run into this problem as well, and specifically the driver you're looking for is the Intel Rapid Storage Technology driver, formerly known as the Intel Matrix Storage Manager. For some reason, unless a newer version of the driver is installed, Windows updates fails to work. This is part of the chipset driver, not the network card. So I'm not sure why this makes a difference, but it does seem to be the case. Just thought I'd pass this on, as I have found installing the newest driver straight from Intel's website has always worked for me. Thanks for the shows. You always provide a plethora of good information. Paul. And that was me. I remember that when I couldn't get updates on an HP machine and I had to install something that was the driver. That's what I needed. It was the Intel, what was it?
Rapid Storage Driver. Intel Rapid Storage Driver.
Yeah, because I couldn't. Windows updates wouldn't run until that was installed.
At all. Okay.
And I thought that was weird. So that's, thanks, Paul. That's good information.
Good.
And I think our last one, we're finally caught up. Heard your message, and this is from Joe Mesman, who actually lives up here in this area, and I've worked with him on a couple projects. He says, heard your message on Mike Tech's show the other day. Check this out. I had this issue a few years ago with a client and discovered why I couldn't use the Powerline adapters on a certain circuit. Can't wait till the next Geeksters comes out. And then he sends a link. So I can't remember what episode it was, but I called into Mike Tech's show because he was talking about having a house that needed a lot of wireless access points, and I think he ended up coming up with three of them he needed, and he was running cable all through the home. And I called in mentioning Powerline adapters, and they're the adapters that plug into your current electrical system.
I got one because you use them, right?
I use them, and actually, my friend just deployed a set in his home and worked like a charm. He said he was really nervous about them, and he said, these are, like, stupidly simple. And I said, yeah, you just plug them in, they talk to each other, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I got one when you were saying, I mean, and it worked fine, but it wasn't doing as good as the wires. So that's
no, of course not. Well, yeah. it depends on the home as well.
Yeah.
It depends if you have, if you have an issue where wireless is, you know, you have a good situation, Mitch.
Yeah, the wireless was actually faster than that. Although it would have been fine.
If you had a place where you have cinder block walls or some really unusual situation.
Right, right. I got two access points, one on this side of the house, one on the other side of the house. So it just kicks in whichever.
You got 50,000 watts
of no.
Broadcasting 24/7.
Yeah, not quite that.
Yeah, I have used them in an older home before, and they didn't work as well on, you know, and they work fine on mine, but this is, you know, this house was just completed just over a year ago. I've used them in a couple of coffee shops, and they work without a hitch there. You're running something over your electrical circuit. So you're forcing something over something that shouldn't ever work initially. I'm just amazed they do work. And in a pinch, if you need to run, you know, you can pick these up for $50-$60 in a pinch if you can't run a cable upstairs or downstairs or across your home. This may be a simple, easy way to do it. Is it going to be as fast as a gig? No, you're never going to get that. It may be faster than wireless, depending on what's in your home, or it may not.
And remember, I mean, 100 years ago, our ancestors were carrying buckets of data, manually. Right. So
data lines when they had to transfer data from one end of the town to the other. They just all lined up. They just passed the bucket.
Yeah. We just have buckets of data, so we really have to keep that in perspective.
I agree. Well, that's all I have. I feel like I've kind of caught up with everything that's been going on. It's
good to have you back, man.
I am glad to be back. You guys had mentioned it last show and I was really touched by the nice things you said. Because I don't know if you knew that I was going to listen to the show or not. So I think I would like to think that you said them out of the kindness of your heart and not because you thought I was going to listen to the show.
But I'd been drinking.
All right. Oh my. That's fine then. But I really, you did mention that I did not like missing the show, that's true. I don't like missing the show. I enjoy hanging out with you guys. I enjoy doing the show. I get frustrated when work gets in the way, but on the other hand, I still have bills to pay and
life.
And it's real stuff. This isn't, I don't come to Geeksters because I need a vacation. It's because, something's gone down and it's some stuff that I can bring to the show and that's what the show's about. It's just us talking about our daily lives and what goes on and what problems and what's our problem stories? What's our success stories? Where did we fail and where did we learn from those failures? And, I like bringing all that to the show and kind of just hanging out with everybody. You guys, Mitch and Tim and everybody in the chat room and people who call in and send us emails, just keep them coming. We really enjoy those and really enjoy hearing from people. I had a text the other day. Somebody hit me up on Google+ pretty much saying, when's the next Geeksters coming out? Like knocking on the door. Hello, you still there? And I said, oh yeah, we're still here. I'm sorry. We're getting there. It's just been, it's been rough. And so I said, wait, we're this Tuesday. It's already booked out and, being a Tuesday, it is Patch Tuesday. I don't have any of the numbers for everybody, but don't forget to update your computers to the best of their abilities.
Yeah, I got 10 important updates are available on my one PC.
10.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
don't forget to roll back the updates.
Right, because they may fail. Microsoft's had a good couple, last couple months. They patch something and then they'll break the something. So, well, if you want to, what do you think, guys? Think we've satisfied our listeners?
Yeah, I've had enough.
I wasn't asking if you've had enough. Do you think they've had enough?
I know they have.
It's not always about you.
I know, but I mean, surely they've had enough. I have. I'm bored now.
Okay. All right. Well, if people want to get a hold of you, Tim, what's the best way they can do that?
I'm Tim Bauermeister on the G+.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. Mitch, people want to send us a voice message like Sherwin was able to do?
How about sending us emails at geeksters@podnuts.com, voicemails at 7076-PODNUT. That is 707-676-3688. Keep them coming.
Nice. Oh, yeah, keep them coming. I'm Obando Computing in the chat. I'm Martin at obandocomputing.com. Again, you can get us at geeksters@podnuts.com. Don't forget what Christmas is, 2 weeks now?
Yeah.
My daughter knows because her birthday is on the 19th, so she knows exactly how many days or how many weeks till her birthday. So,
I want that.
But podnuts.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. Yes. Check it out.
Yeah, somebody get me. I want an American Fender Stratocaster Deluxe Sienna Sunset with the humbucker single coil, HSS configuration. You might be able to get it for $1,500. Thank you.
Dibs. Sorry, I had to be the first one to call it.
I'm okay with peace on earth.
Yeah, no. I should be too.
I don't even know what I want. Nothing taps. He wants a new guitar and you want peace on earth. I'd like to have... I got nothing. I can't think of anything. But thanks, guys, for hanging out with us. Don't forget to support our sponsors, Nick Shaw, D7 to FoolishIT.com. Bye, guys. Thanks. And I haven't said in a while, so don't forget to be gruntled. We're going to see you next fiscal Geeksters week. Bye, guys.